Well, good morning, ACF. How you guys doing? I have to be honest, I had no idea it was daylight savings time today. Like, remember back in the day when you used to have to set alarms and freak out for like 24 hours? I didn't even know. Thank you, Lord. Well, if we haven't had the privilege of meeting, my name is Britt, and I oversee high school and young adult ministry, and God is just doing amazing things in our youth. If you see a young person, like, give them a high five or a dab or something like that, because I saw you in the back. They are such a blessing to our church, and God is just doing incredible things in our youth and young people. Well, we are going to be continuing our conversation on the deeper life through sexuality, and this week I get the privilege of talking about singleness. But before we get into the conversation and God's word, I just want to take a moment to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you are so good. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is and is yet to come. God, thank you that you are in this place. God, thank you that you love us too much to leave us the same way you found us. God, thank you so much that you are the risen King and Savior. Lord, we love you and we ask this in your precious and holy and mighty name. Amen. All right, I have a mic. So I want to start off the conversation. Raise your hand if you've ever been single. All right. There are a couple of people who didn't raise their hand. I want to hear your story because that's interesting. I remember the first time recognizing that I was single and thinking, I don't know if I want to actually be single. I was in sixth grade, and there was a guy on the baseball team, on my brother's baseball team. And as any sixth grader does, they write a love note. And they're just like, I think you're awesome. I think you're really cool. You have a great swing, all of the things. And I stick it in his locker, and then for like 3 days, I'm just so anxious. I'm like, what is this guy going to say? Is he going to like me? And keep in mind, he's on my brother's baseball team. And so 3 days later, my brother comes up to me and he says, Britt, I'm going to say John Smith. John Smith said, no, thank you. And I was just like so wrecked. I listened to Unbreak My Heart by Toni Braxton. And then like No Scrubs. I mean, I was just in my feelings. Side note, I actually said the person's name in high school one time, and the students found him on Facebook, and they were like, is this the guy? And I was like, don't touch anything. I don't need him to think 20 years later I'm still talking about him. So just don't ever use last names when you're talking to teens, because they are like undercover ninjas. But I want to kind of start there, because we can have a stereotype about what singleness is and who is single. And to prepare for this message, I actually met with a lot of different single people. And what I learned was that singleness is a spectrum, that we can have an idea in our minds, but singleness is broad and wide and deep. And so I have these chairs on stage because I wanted you guys to get to know some of the people I sat down with and some of the people who were in my story who were single. This first person is Joey. Joey is in his young 20s, and he does not want to be married. But he also doesn't want to be alone. And he's on different dating apps, and he's going to different bars because he doesn't want to go back to an empty apartment. Joey wants to be known and longs for deep and wide relationships. But again, he's like, I don't want to be married. This is Joey. Next, this is Amber. Amber is in her mid-40s. She's never been married. and she wants to be married. She also has a deep and wide community that loves her. She goes to soccer games. She goes over for dinner. They come over to her house for dinner. She's on the fridge on people's, she's on pictures on people's fridge. I mean, she's so loved, and she loves her community. This is Amber. Next is Ashley. Ashley is divorced, and she never thought she would be. Ashley went through a really hard and painful and breaking that left her and her spouse just kind of in pieces. And she's a single mom, and she just wonders what every day will bring. She's in a hard season, and she goes back and forth between swearing off men and wanting to be married again. This is Ashley. Next is Janice. Janice is a widow. She is in her 60s, and she was someone during my young adult life who loved me so well. She would invite me over. We would play games, watch movies. We would do so much together. And she would share stories about her husband, who had passed away 12 years earlier. And she would laugh when she thought about all the fun, silly things they did. And she would cry because she missed him. Janice taught me how to love and also how to grieve. And then this last one is Timmy. Timmy's in eighth grade, and Timmy should be single. Timmy wants to date. He's starting to recognize girls for the first time, but Timmy needs to know what the purpose of dating is before he even starts stepping towards it. Can I get an amen? So, again, singleness is a spectrum of people. And so as we start this conversation, I just want us to recognize that there are many different people in the room. And two things I want to do today. First, I want to know what God's word says about singleness. And second, I want to know, as a church body, how do we engage in this conversation? Because this is people all around us. I'm going to scoot this over. So if you have your Bibles, I want you guys to turn to 1 Corinthians 7. And we're going to start in verse 6. But just to give you guys some context, Paul is writing the people of Corinth. And Paul is this guy who went from like persecuting the church to literally laying down his life for the church. And many scholars debate whether Paul was single, married, or a widow. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees, which meant he was a religious elite, and most people in this status would be married. And so scholars debate whether he became a widow or whether his wife left him for the faith, but at writing this letter, he is single. And at the beginning of this chapter, Paul says, "Now concerning the matters about which you wrote." And so the people of Corinth had questions, just like we have questions. They had questions about marriage, about sex, and about singleness, and how all of this should function and look in the body of Christ. In the first five verses of chapter 7, Paul's giving instructions about marriage, and he's saying this is what marriage should look like, and this is what sex should look like, and how it should function in marriage. But then in verse 6, he shifts the conversation to singleness, and he says this: "Now as a concession, not a command, I say this. I wish that all were as I myself am, but each has his own gift from God, one of one kind and one of another. To the unmarried and the widows, I say that it is good for them to remain single as I am. But if they cannot exercise self-control, they should marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion." And so Paul's doing something really revolutionary here. He is saying that singleness has as high and a holy calling as marriage. And he's saying both are necessary and needed in the kingdom of God. Stanley Hauerwas says this in a book, A Community of Character. What the early church did was establish a community whose understanding of its mission was such that singleness was of equal status with marriage. As a result, the church challenged the natural necessity of marriage, thus making marriage a vocation as serious as singleness. And so this is so important in this conversation because I've, again, talked to a lot of single people to help prepare for this conversation. And in that conversation, I've heard, like, man, I can feel like an outcast. I can feel marginalized. I can feel less than. And Paul is saying, you are equal, high, and holy in the calling of singleness, just as in the call of marriage. This is amazing. And something in this text that you may not be aware of, but it's very obvious today, is singleness is a season and a calling. And for some people, the season turns into a calling, but there's a reality, again, that all of us start out single. We come out of the womb single as a Pringle. We are a wolf pack of one. We have parents, but as we continue on in our journey, what we see is seasons of singleness, and then Paul also talks about this calling of singleness. And so the question I have for this is, how do we navigate this with Jesus? Because that's what we want to do every single day, is live life with him. And so I want to start to the person that's in the season of singleness, the season. Pew Research said 3 in 10 U.S. adults are single. That means they're not married, living with a partner, or in a committed romantic relationship. And there's a reality that there are people who want to be in this season and people who don't want to be in this season. And so as we talk about this, the first thing that we want to do is invite Jesus into it. And maybe you're in here and you're single and you're like, Britt, I got to be honest, I don't want to be. What does it look like to invite God into that space? First, if you desire to be in a married covenant relationship, bring this to the Lord. Talk to God about the desires of your heart. He loves to be a part of your life and a part of your story. Again, middle school Brit, I remember not wanting to be single, and then growing up in high school and being single, and even in college and being single, and I never talked to Jesus about it. I literally just went to different bars and different places and spaces because I was like, man, is this the solution? And I would have been saved so many scars if I would have invited God into that and just said, like, Lord, I want to bring this to you. I want to invite you into the desires of my heart. Paul says this in Philippians 4, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. He starts off by saying, don't be anxious about anything. In church, we can be anxious about so many things. And Paul's saying, but in everything, married, unmarried, family, no family, in everything, bring your request to the Lord. And if you're single, I want to challenge you to go deeper and wider as you bring this to the Lord. I think sometimes when we come to God, we can be like, yeah, God, man, I don't want to be single. But taking a step back and inviting God into the places of your heart that's like, God, I'm afraid I'm going to be alone forever. God, I'm afraid I'm not going to have a family. God, I'm afraid that I will never be a mother or a father. And you know what God wants to do in those places? He wants to minister to you. He's a good and holy God that's like, man, I want to minister to those places and spaces. Because one thing I learned while I sat with so many different single people is there's a lot of places where lies can creep in singleness. I heard things like, am I unlovable? Am I unwanted? I heard someone say, is God punishing sin from my past? And this scripture says that God wants to guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. That there actually needs to be a guard right there because so many lies can creep in this season. And the kindness of God is to say, you are so lovable, I died for you. The kindness of God is saying, you are so wanted that I have not stopped pursuing you since your first breath on earth. Man, I'm not holding your sin against you. I died for it. It doesn't define you. I do. God wants to speak to those places. We have to invite Jesus in the journey. The second thing, if you're in a season of singleness, is to pursue genuine relationships with people from all seasons of life. Life can be really hard. Again, whether you're married or unmarried. And something I've learned is like this is hard in the 21st century, especially when we have screens constantly in front of us. I remember a couple years ago, I was really struggling with just feeling alone. And I was talking to my husband about it, and I was like, man, I just feel like I don't have deep relationships in my life. And there was an app called Bumble. Does anybody know what Bumble is? So this app is all about meeting friends and finding people in similar with similar interests or similar seasons of life. And it was so funny because I was like, man, this girl looks really cool, but I don't know how to say hi. I was like so nervous about this. But there was a desire in my heart for a genuine, deep relationship. And I had to put myself out there to connect with other people. Paul writes this in 1 Thessalonians, now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write for you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that is indeed what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more. Paul is saying in this text, man, brotherly love is necessary, and you need to do this more and more. And I know, again, guys, it's really hard to let yourself be known. But this is what fosters deeper and wider relationships. And hear me on this. We are a deeper and wider and richer community when you are a part of it. We are deeper and wider and richer when you are a part of the community. And the greatest lie of the enemy is they're like, man, they don't need you. If they knew your stuff, they wouldn't want you to be here. That is a lie straight from the pit of hell. I remember this was a couple weeks ago at our adult life group. We had this guy come in. It was his first time, and he said he was really nervous. He sat in his car for like 15 minutes because he was like, church people are weird. I don't know if I want to go inside. And he came inside to our life group, and he got fed. He got asked honest questions about his life. He got prayed for. He got encouraged. And at the end of the night, he said, I didn't know how much I needed that. We need deep and wide relationships in our life. And this happens mutually. Like when people decide, I'm going to invite people into my life, married, unmarried, saying like, man, I want you to come along. I want to hear your story. I sat with one single person. And they really struggled for a long time with this idea of third wheel. And it was really interesting because when I was sitting down talking to them, they said the greatest place that that comment was coming from was not somewhere externally, but somewhere internally. Like, the greatest place that your third wheel wasn't coming from people, it was coming from a lie in me. And they were like, man, I had to start to embrace that I'm wanted, I'm loved. And then they would go to the baseball games or they would invite them over, but both people would participate in each other's lives because they saw how necessary and how beautiful this relationship was. When was the last time you had someone in a different season of life over at your table? It's a good question to wrestle with. We need people from all seasons of life. NPR wrote an article on the loneliness epidemic in America. And again, this is for married, unmarried, teens, older generations. This is what Surgeon General Dr. Murthy said. You can feel lonely even if you have a lot of people around you, because loneliness is about the quality of your connections. How are your connections? Who knows what you're wrestling with right now in life? Who's celebrating with you? Who's excited about things going on? Who's asking you to pray for them? The greatest barrier to deeper relationships is us. The greatest barrier to deeper relationships is us, and this is for everyone in the room. Let yourself be known. Again, we're deeper and wider and richer when you're a part of our story and we're a part of yours. The third thing, and this is for the person in the season, is as you walk with Jesus, ask them out. Man, as you walk with Jesus is so important. I shared a little bit that I have scars from when I was younger, from wanting to be in a dating relationship and pursuing the wrong places. And I heard this analogy, and I thought this was so spot on. Dating without Jesus is like going to Target without a list. Hear me on this. You will stroll through the aisles putting anything and everything in the cart. You will spend way too much money. And you will walk out thinking, what just happened? In relationships, if you do this without Jesus, you will settle and have everyone and everything just being like, this looks good, this looks good. I'll try this out. It will cost you immensely. And you'll come out of relationships thinking, what just happened? Doing this with Jesus is so, so important. Ask them out. And the reason I put this in there is because I was really surprised when I was doing research about this conversation. Pew Research said 46% of people find it hard to approach the person to ask them out. That actually one of the biggest barriers to singleness is inviting someone to dinner or to a movie. And this was last week, I was talking to our 18-25 young adults, and I was like, guys, tell me the cringiest pickup lines. Most of them were inappropriate, and so I'm not going to say it in church. But a couple of them were actually really good. This one was, you must not be on Google, because I've been searching for you my whole life. And I was like, man, if someone said that to me, I would say I'd go to coffee. The other one was, man, I need a map because I got lost in your eyes. Just let that settle. But In this conversation, and in all seriousness, there's so much ambiguity about asking people out. It's like, hey, do you want to go get coffee? Do you want to check out a movie? And it leaves both people wondering, like, what is this? Do you want to date me? Do you want to hang out? Is this a friendship? And so asking them out, be clear with your purpose. Be clear with your intentions. Hey, would you like to go on a date this Saturday night at 7 p.m.? I would love to take you out. That makes it very clear your intentions and the other person very clear of, oh, we're looking to see if we want to pursue a relationship that can lead towards marriage. But being clear and concise is very, very important. And again, guys, the biggest temptation is to do this without Jesus if you are in this season. But what happens if you do this without Jesus? You'll settle for false intimacy through superficial relationships and hookups. You'll ghost people when you figure out that they're not someone you want to pursue instead of having honest conversations with them. You'll put marriage on a pedestal and orient your life around trying to find a person instead of orienting your life around Jesus and saying, God, if you have someone for me, I would love that. Man, and if you do this without Jesus, you may just end up believing a lie that you are unlovable. Jesus desires to be part of your life in every single way. And we've talked about seasons, but now I want to talk about the calling. The reality that there is a calling to singleness. And again, this is a high and holy calling, but I also recognize that there are gifts in this, but there's also challenges in this. That there is a receiving, but there is also a taking. And when I read that Paul said, I wish believers were as I am, I was like, what would make Paul say this? What would make Paul say, like, man, this is such a gift? And then I started to look at the relationships that Paul had. If you have your Bibles, in Romans 16, it's this beautiful story of all of the people that Paul did life with. See, I think sometimes we can think, especially people in the Bible, like they did life with just them and Jesus. But they did life with them, Jesus, and people. Because Jesus was always about people, and Jesus knew the power of relationships. He had three best friends, 12, big group of friends that's like, let's go do life together and build the kingdom as we go. And when Paul is in Romans 16 talking about the relationships he had, I was so moved by them. In verse 1, he talks about Phoebe, a sister in Christ, laboring for the Lord, who gave generously. I wonder if Paul would be like, Phoebe, let's go. We're about to do mission work. He talks about this married couple, Priscilla and Aquila, who were co-workers alongside Paul, that there was breaking in the ministry together. And I wonder if they just like sat around a table and just like wept over hard things together. I wonder if they sat around a table and broke bread and just said, man, today was hard, but what does God have in store for tomorrow? Think of the depth and width of these relationships. Next, he talks about a beloved friend, Epaphroditus, who was from Asia, a different cultural background and ethnicity, and he's like, man, you're a beloved brother. I want to hear about what God's doing in Asia. The vastness of this relationships. He talks about Andronicus and Junia, who sat in prison with him for the sake of the gospel. Paul had people who were literally sitting beside him. And I wonder as they are just in chains for Jesus, just start singing together. Lovely hymns. Or just talking about their hopes and their dreams. Paul had rich and wide relationships. Paul was known. Paul was loved. And I think about this, how the Bible would have been written differently if Paul didn't have these people a part of his story. How the Bible would have been written differently if he didn't have these people coming alongside him to do ministry and to do life. The calling of singleness is high and holy, and Paul saw the power of God in it and through it. But as I close, I want you guys to know, whether you are singled or married, it is not good for you to be alone. Whether you are single or married, it is not good for you to be alone. The Bible declares 4 times emphatically that it is not good for you to be alone. The first is when God creates Adam and he sees him by himself, and then he creates Eve and institutes marriage. He says, man, it's not good for God to, for man to be alone. The second time is when God leaves heaven and puts on flesh in the form of Jesus and comes to earth. He is declaring, it is not good for man to be alone. He walks alongside man. He empathizes. He conquers the sin and death that we never could. It's not good for man to be alone. He is risen to new life, showing the people the scars in his hands and declaring, it's not good for you to be alone. I've come. The Savior is here. The third time the Bible emphatically declares it's not good for man to be alone is when God sends his Spirit. Jesus promised, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. And on Pentecost, 120 people are gathered and they're waiting for the presence of God because they know they can't do life without him. And the Spirit falls and it's poured out and people are boldly proclaiming heaven to earth. They're boldly doing life together. They're praying together. They're having food together. They're being generous. They're sharing in wants and needs. And the Spirit is guiding them. And they're listening and they're walking in it. When God says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, and yet he says, it's better that I go, it's, he says, because someone is coming, the Holy Spirit is coming, who's going to dwell with you. He's going to abide in you, which literally means in the Greek to take up residence in you. God is with you. The fourth time that God declares it is not good for man to be alone has not yet come. It is the reality that God is coming back for all of his people. That he is coming as the righteous and holy God to rule and to reign, but also to do life with us. You see, Jesus is Savior, Sanctifier, Healer, and coming King. He's coming. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Revelation 21. It's John speaking about the things to come, and he says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. Man, you may not be married on this side of heaven, but there is a bridegroom who's waiting for you. Verse 3, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. You see, we will be forever the bride, forever the beloved, forever known, forever in deep and wide relationship with the King and with his priesthood of saints. Everything is coming back to this reality. In 1 Corinthians 7, Paul goes on to say that married people should live as unmarried and mourning as joyous people as if they're mourning. And he goes on this long list because he's saying that this life is such a vapor for the things to come. There are beautiful things to come, and there are beautiful things happening right now in whatever season God has you in. In the words of John Wesley, the best of all is God with us. We have some action steps on y'all's chair, and I'd love for you just to take a moment and consider which God is calling you to move on. Because we don't want to just come to church and hear the word of God and be like, okay, let me go throughout the rest of my day. I want to be changed. I want to be challenged. I want to build heaven on earth with God. And so maybe today for you, it's just to begin a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you've never considered the depth and width and love of God for you. He has been pursuing you since your first breath. Surrendering your life to him is the most beautiful thing you can do, but also the most necessary thing you can do. Because we can't save ourselves. We can't heal ourselves. We can't fix ourselves, but there is a God who can. Beginning that relationship is not just saying, God, I want to be saved from. He's saving you to life, to purpose, to family, to community. The second thing is to invite someone in a different season of life over. Again, when's the last time you just had someone that wasn't in that same season at your table? The third thing is bring the desires of my heart to the Lord. Whatever that looks like, be honest with God. And finally, as I follow Jesus, ask them out. Let God guide your season of singleness. And if you bring someone forth, have the courage to say, would you want to go on a date? We're going to go ahead and close out in prayer. God, thank you so much for you. God, thank you that you didn't leave man alone. God, and I just pray for the person in here that has felt alone for a long time. I pray, Lord, that your spirit would minister deep into deep. God, and this week they would allow themselves to be known. They would bring the groans of their heart to you and to community. And God, I pray, Lord, for the single people that are, whether it's a season or a calling, Lord, that they would know that we need them. Lord, that they are loved. And we're so thankful, God, that they're a part of this community. Holy Spirit, speak to us. We love you. We want more of you. We need your presence. Come into this place and fill us again. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.